enter in time of scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 62 verses 1 to 2 and 5 to 8. It reads, "Truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation, he is my fortress, I will never be shaken. Yes, my soul finds rest in God, my hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation, he is my fortress, I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." This is the word of God. Church, please be seated, and let's invite Reverend YC, who will be sharing with us God's word on restful hearts.
Thank you. Good afternoon, church. Very soon, most of us will be going to the church camp. I'm sure you have made some plans, and I pray that this camp will be a camp for you to able to have some rest and chill time. And look at the program itself, it's quite light. We only have 3 sessions, each session about an hour plus, and then the rest of it are all your play time, your free time, and your fun time, right? So, when I showed this to the Jiang Yan, our invited speaker, he said, "I thought my church camp is quite relaxed already. Wow, your church camp even more relaxed." I say, "Yeah." And then he's very happy because I need to speak only 3 sessions. Most of the time, maybe 4 sessions. Anyway, we're looking forward. I think all of us are looking forward for rest. You know, Singapore is a very busy society. And all of us are being bombarded with so much information, so much things to do. And you know, sometimes it's hard-pressed to find a time of solace, a time of solitude, a time that we can quiet down ourselves and be connected with ourselves and with God, and also with one another sometimes. So today, we're going to talk about a restful heart. Okay, can I say? So according to the Today Online survey in 2023, November, it says that Singaporeans more stressed than global average, and the percentage is 87%. In other words, 87% of the respondents says that, you know, the stress level is pretty high, and that's above the global average. And out of all these 87%, 16% say that their stress is not manageable. In other words, they are not emotionally healthy. Okay? Those that have read the book, Emotionally Healthy Leadership, Emotionally Healthy Church, you know that they're not emotionally healthy. 16% of it. Okay? And Straits Times in last year, September, run a survey by IMH, says that the strict depression, anxiety, stress, 1 in 3 youth in Singapore reported very poor mental health. Imagine we just have 60 here. Just say 60 of you here. Out of 60 of you here, 20 of you are now suffering from depression, anxiety, and stress. Anybody want to raise hands and say, "Yes, this is who I am, this is where I am now"? And it is. That's why you realize that for the last few years, the government have poured in a lot of money, put a lot of emphasis, a lot of advertisement, a lot of kind of a public awareness about mental health. Even for the pastors, you know that there's an organization who are so good that he said that they put aside a sum of money. Any pastor in Singapore, if you think that you need to see a counselor, whether your marriage problem, your health problem, whatever, you just go and we will pay for you. You don't even need to tell us for approval. That is how bad it is. Okay? And the take-up rate is not very fantastic, okay? I may register for one, okay? Anyway, this is how it is. And we know that it's very stressful. But why is it that we cannot find rest? What are the few key reasons that why, you know, this stress and the restlessness is always in the heart of men? So the problem of a restless heart, okay, there are a few important reason or cause or the root cause of it. The first is, of course, worry. Worry about what? Worried about the future, worried about finance, whether when I graduate, whether I still can find job, whether my job, my company will continue to hire me 5 years down the road, and whether I'll find a person to get married, no, I'm of this age, all sorts of things. The future, and relationship. And all this will consume our thoughts. No, you try to sleep, but you can't because you consume your thoughts. The second is busyness. We know that it's very busy. When you're studying, it's very busy. When you work, even more busy. When you have children, even more busy. Only you get a little bit free time when you retire. That's the life of Singapore. But a bit sad, right? So how do we make the best out of it, you know, in spite of the busyness that we're living? So One of the signs of it are overcommitment. You committed to too many things. Can be committed in the church ministry, committed to your friends, you know, agreement, take up some courses, yoga, Pilates, or whatever. And then you have other things that you want to learn, ukulele, or whatever. And then you want to serve as a cell group leader, and you have this church camp committee, and then you have friends, that primary friend never meet for 2 years already, must go. You know, housewarming, baby party, so many things. So you realize that there's an endless to-do list that really drain our energy. And the other thing that also drain our energy is comparison, right? You compare. Okay, now I graduate, whether I find a job, no. Wow, you see, their salary, my salary, you know, wow, you're driving this car, I'm driving that car. Okay, they can go for holiday. Where do you go? I go Pulau Ubin for holiday. Pulau Ubin. You heard of Mauritius? Never heard of? I go there lah. Nobody know the place, but I go there. Pulau Ubin, you don't go. Right? Nobody travel for short distance. Now you realize the more you travel, you go further and further. Return it. Your experience tell you. When you're young, you go where? You go Sentosa. You go Pulau Ubin. When you're slightly older, you go JB for shopping, one day trip. Then you join the church, they go Malacca. Further a bit lah. But we have not go beyond that, right? So, but on your own, now you will, as you get older, study your exchange program in your school. Shanghai, Japan, New Zealand, not Jakarta or some places, no, far away. So when you get your salary, you go even further, right? How about Balkan states? You know? How about, no, I like to see the northern lights. No, they say that a few years later, going to disappear. Better catch the time. Go. You know, take a cruise at Alaska. Or whatever, you realize that this, you begin to compare. And this tells us a feeling like we don't measure up to others' standard. Now, sometimes we don't even measure up to our own standard. And that's where the frustration comes. We'll talk about it later. So the other thing that causes restlessness is guilt and regret. These are things of the past. The past mistakes, the past decision that you make haunt you. And it's still your peace. If you don't deal with the past, it's very difficult to walk healthily into the future. I say again, if you don't deal with your past, it's very difficult for you to walk healthily into your future. It's very difficult. It's not that it's impossible, but it's going to be very, very challenging for you. So you need to deal with your past. It's very important. Okay, you don't know what is that? Welcome to the 2 o'clock class later on. We had a inner healing soul care class. So you look at this, four of them. The first one is about future. The last one is about the past. What is in between is what is present. You're busy, your comparison is what is happening to you. When you continue to do that, you realize that you get getting very tired. Singapore is a very tired nation, right? We work very hard, long hours, we are very tired. And when you're tired, you will not able to think well. And you realize that when you're tired, you're being stressed and you're being stretched. And sometimes you can't even coherently run your life. So you feel lost. You feel lost. Why am I working so hard? Why am I working so hard? Why am I studying so hard? So what if I get a degree, first class degree? I get a job. Yeah, I buy a house. BTO keep on coming. The price going up. But I'm 35, able to buy one. It's too late. It went up by 200,000. Yeah, all sort of things, getting you more worries. Then you realize that you find lost. Then what's the meaning? In the not too long ago, there's no such thing as a gap year in university study. Not popular. Now, very popular. Why? Do you ever ask why? I don't know the reason. I didn't do a survey. But I guess it's because people beyond this study, they realize that it's not just about study. It's about finding their direction. It's about finding something more significant and meaningful in their life. So could I take a break from my routine, monotonous study and memorizing and regurgitating all those lecture notes back to the lecture? I want to find something. There's something off the path. That's why you take a gap year. Some go holiday, some go and learn something, some go for internship, whatever it is. You realize that the trend is happening compared to 10 years ago, right? Gap year is very popular. And some make it almost like must. You know, you must do that. So, lostness and tiredness, and that leads to ultimately you feel very empty. You feel very empty. You may have a lot of friends. Your schedule can be jam-packed. But you feel very empty and very hollow inside. I believe some of our youth, you know, as you go through your life, you will, at one point or another, you will feel, even at this doubt, I spoke to the first two sessions, for the retirees, They were busy doing work. Suddenly, end of this month, today, 1st of June, no need to report to work already. Wake up. You can wake up anytime you want. Nothing to do. Your schedule is blank. Oh, very fun. Call friend, go and drink coffee. How long can you drink coffee? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, holiday. How many countries can you go? You can go all the 100 over countries in the world. At the end, when you come back home one day, you still lie on your own bed and you look at the ceiling, you say, so what? I've seen the Northern Light, so what? I can watch on YouTube also, you know. With an 80-inch screen, it's almost like real. And zero subscription. Right? So you realize that these are issues that we face. So continue, you say that, but the universal longing for rest is something that is in us. But the world will offer a solution. They offer a solution like vacation, entertainment, hobby. They promise you peace, promise you rest. But you realize that when you come back, it's even more. Okay, thank God, say bye-bye to your colleague. I'm gone for 2 weeks for holiday to Alaska. Very enjoy the Norway. Go to Norway. Go to some very northern Europe side. Wow, peaceful. Very solitude. Come back, you realize when you go back to office the next Monday, you realize that your thing piled up. You think your colleague do everything for you. Then you need to work very hard to clear your backlog. And then whatever energy that you have reserved and built up during the 2 weeks, gone within 3 days in your working. And then you're back to the square one again. So, but all these things you realize is also quite costly, right? And it gives you just a temporary fix. Because able to do that, they were telling you that you need to work even harder. You need to earn money. That trip is not cheap. You want to learn how to relax, pay for the yoga class, $300, $500. Get a personal coach to train you in a gym. That costs you some money again. So a lot of these things, you realize that not everyone can afford that. So as if that this is only from the privileged people that who can enjoy rest or so-called the temporary fix. And then you realize that at the end of it, as I say, looking out on the ceiling one night, you realize that, so what? I travel 120 countries. I've been to all these 7 wonders of the world. So what? I'm still lying on the bed. I'm still living in Singapore. So your experience reveals these promises are ultimately empty. So it's just like a placebo for a period of time, and then after that, back to square one. But the biblical rest that we talk about, when the Bible talk about, come and I'll let you will find rest. The rest is different. The rest is transcend a physical cessation. In other words, it's not just that don't do anything physically, lying down, okay, and then like a zombie, just lying down and sleep. It's not just a cessation for activities, but rather it is an internal state of a profound peace. It's a profound peace that you may be still very busy, but inside you is very peaceful. You are very calm. You are very at peace. You are coherent. In other words, so the word shalom, we always use shalom, peace. What does it mean? It means wholeness and completeness, okay, found in relationship with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So you want to have peace, you have relationship with the Prince of Peace. And then you will have that, and that is shalom, completeness and wholeness. So what does the world offer and what does God offer? Let's make a comparison, okay? The world offer, the source is always external. You want to have relax, you must have external environment. The external environment is Alaska, the Norwegian Bay, okay, Queenstown in South Island of New Zealand. And that is it. So it is external. You need to go to that place in order to have that. But what is of God is from God. So God is in us. God is present, ever present, omnipresent. So you can experience peace now. You can experience peace on MRT. You don't have to go to a very nice 6-star hotel, spa to enjoy peace. You can have it now. In other words, what they offer are something very superficial. But what is of God is internal tranquility that you can enjoy. And it's a temporary duration. You can go holiday 1 month, 2 months. You will come back, okay, to face the reality of life. And then, but what is of God have this power of persistence, able to endure the duration that you have. And then, this is control-based. You know that when you go for holiday, it's control-based because you control what's going to happen to you. You just eat, play, and sleep. You control your activity. You control the time. You join this tour agency so you can go to the place that you want. So everything is quite controlled in a sense, right? So it's a control thing. But the grace of God gives us the peace. So peace is a grace of God. It's a gift. So you realize that the outcome is quite different. The outcome, one, is insufficient. You need to always, when you go for one vacation, what happened next? You will sign on in the next NAFTA exhibition, right? You go for traveling. You will sign on early bird, super early bird. You will sign 2 years ahead so that you can get $100 cheaper, that kind of thing. So you cannot continuously to do that. Right? But what is of God, you have this restorative outcome. You realize that you're able to enjoy the peace of God in spite of what you're facing. Okay? So we look for peace somewhere else beside God. And Augustine told us that because God has made us for himself, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. So in other words, you try to find rest in somewhere else and you will come to the same conclusion. There's all these things you do may give you very temporary fix, but it will not last. You will only able to rest. Your heart will only rest when there are rest in God. So we thank God that the promise of rest is given to us. Right? So how do we know that the promise of God is given to us? How do we tell from the Bible? The first is God designed rest. You know that rest is designed by God, just like marriage is instituted by God. Rest is designed by God because during the creation pattern, the Genesis pattern, we realize that God rested on the seventh day. God doesn't work through day and night. But let me ask you a question. All you are Bible students, does God need rest? Some say yes, some say no. Remember another, some say that the God that who watches over Israel neither sleep nor slumber. Right? He doesn't need rest. But why you need God rest? He set it as a what? Because now it's not just God, the Son, the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now it's God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the creation. So this is done as a blueprint for the creation, not for God himself. God no need to rest. But God show you what is rest. Show you that you need rest at the very beginning of your creation. God show it to you. So that is why God established as a blueprint for human existence. And continue on in the Ten Commandments, right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. God reminded the people, you are not going to be like the others. In fact, even when you plow the land, 6 years you should plow the land, the seventh year, you should let it rest. Even to that extent, it means that rest had to build in even into your work, into your economy activities, not just your leisure, even into your business of the day. It's being incorporated inside. So remember that, okay? Then in New Testament, we see that Christ's fulfillment. To the Pharisees and to the religious leader at the time, what is Sabbath? Sabbath is a lot of taboo, a lot of things you cannot do. I remember the year that we were visiting Israel, and then we were there for more than 10 days. So we kind of passed through one of the weekend, which is a Sabbath. The Sabbath starts on the Friday evening, like 6 p.m. Okay, and then all the way until Saturday evening. So on the Sabbath, okay, we go finish, you know, we're going sightseeing, then we come back to the hotel. So the hotel, let's say I stay in the fourth story. So when I enter the lift will just open. I don't need to press. I'm not supposed to press the lift. So I go in, and then you wait until, you know, they wait, don't know how long, then the program, then they'll close. Then you go to the second floor, open, then close. Third floor, open, close. Go to fourth floor, open, then I come out. Because you're not supposed to do that, because by pressing the button, you're considered working. So you have break the law of the Sabbath. So we Singaporean, how come? How come cannot override the program? You know, but I think of the way already fourth floor. So it is how. This is how. But Jesus told them, no, you get it all wrong. It's not about cessation. It's not about taboo of not doing things. Jesus even healed the blind. Even, he said, any one of you who have a donkey to fall into the well, then you live until Monday, until Sunday to bring it up. No, you save it immediately. So you don't understand the spirit. So he said that the Sabbath, man is not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath is for man. And he declared as the Lord of the Sabbath, the Prince of Peace and the Lord of Sabbath. So you realize that It is. Jesus transformed the Sabbath from mere day of cessation of activities into continuous state of reliance. So Isaiah 26:3 told us that you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stay on you because he trusts in you. And in the New Testament, even better. The invitation is even clearer. Jesus says to all of us, say that, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So Jesus' invitation for our soul rest. The first is that you have to come to me, not anywhere. Not to Chan Brother, but anywhere. But to me, Jesus Christ, to me. Universal invitation to all who are weary and burdened. Let me ask you, anyone who is not weary and burdened in life? Anyone? Everyone. Doesn't mean that the rich, the emperor, is not worried. They are also weary in their position. They are also burdened with a lot of issues with the country. They are also burdened, even though they are rich, super, super, super rich. They are also burdened. So in other words, the issue is across the board. It's just like every one of us are sinner. There's not even one that's righteous. Every one of us are heavy laden and all we are weary. So in other words, this invitation is to all men. Come. So if you agree with Jesus that you are the weary one, you are the one that burdened, then you will want to come. And he says that, take my yoke. In life, you have many burdens and yoke on you. And Jesus basically is asking them, say that you're going to exchange your heavy burden for his easy yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So say, take, he will take your yoke, and he will take your load, and he will give you an easy yoke. This is how God gives us rest. But without the heavy burden taken out from our shoulder, we cannot rest, because there will be constant pressure, there will be constant stress on us. You see, take it off you, and I'll give you an easy yoke which you can bear. And I will be the one that bearing it with you. Yoke is always, you know, we have two cow plowing on the same yoke on the field, in a field, right? So the third one, he said that, and you will find rest. And this rest is a soul refreshment that restores from the inside out. It's not something externally controlled, but it's internally generated. So peace that surpasses understanding. Sometimes you don't understand how come people are so, like COVID happening. Why are they scared, right? But you find that, okay, what? You know, you kena, like, sometimes you fall sick, you kena flu, people spread to you. But you take precaution, but at the same time, you are at peace. There are things that happen that are beyond our control. A lot of people are worried about a lot of things, about the future, about the past, about the current. So there's a lot of things that we can get ourselves entangled with so that we cannot find rest for our soul. And Jesus said, come to me. You take my yoke. In other words, you exchange. I exchange with you. Do you know that redemption, the theory of redemption is exchange. He took our place. He took our place at the cross. He took your burden and gave you an easy yoke. It's a redemptive act of God giving us the rest for our soul. And you will find rest. It's a promise, and you will find rest. And in the Bible, there are many promises. There are many verses. I'll just show you two about the invitation about God's heart for us to be at rest. The first is John 14:27. It says that, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Remember, the world gives versus what Jesus gives, the biblical rest versus the world rest is different, right? So do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is Jesus' peace, his own peace he lives with you. He's a Prince of Peace. And the second is 1 Peter 5:7. It says that, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Just remember, Jesus cares for you. Does he care for his disciple? Does he care what I'm going through? I'm working in a church. No, I'm busy serving. I have so many things. Does God see? Does God know? Does God care? Sometimes we ask ourselves, right? No, especially when you work, serve God very hard, and then they have a negative remark, negative complaint against you. And suddenly you run into this self-pity kind of sub-routine of your program. And you begin to say, you see, I work so hard, what do I get? Then the more you do that, you spiral down. At the end, you say, quit lah. Why do all these things? Why? I don't want my crown in heaven. No need lah. No, I want to live peacefully, happily in on earth, good enough. But you look at Jesus. I just give you an example in Mark 6. Jesus sent up the 12 disciples, and two by two they went out, and then, they have the authority to cast out demons, to preach good news, and then heal the sick, they come back very happy. Then the apostle, in verse 30, says, the apostle gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. What did Jesus reply? Well done, you faithful and good servant. Clap hand, very good. Next week, send you to a bigger crowd, you can harvest even more soul. Okay, let's on, go. Jesus never do that. Jesus said what? Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. Jesus know that they did not have their lunch. Jesus know. You did not have a lunch now, right? Right? Jesus know you probably a bit hungry. Say that, come with me, and say to them, okay, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Even for those there who serve, you need rest. Sabbath is for everyone, because everyone need rest, right? So come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Sometimes to come away is a good thing. Now you go for holiday, it's not really a bad thing, but remember that there is just a temporary kind of reset for yourself, but it can never give you that enduring peace of God. You cannot, every time you got a problem, you run to another holiday. There are people who do that, I know. Anything, then, boom, go holiday. Come back, same thing again. They work very hard. So you work to play. So you play because you get to work. Why you work? Because you want to play. Why you want to play? In order to afford your play, you need to work very hard. So the philosophy of life is to work to play. But God doesn't want you to work so that you can play. God wants you to rest, even in your work. So, how do we cultivating a heart of restfulness or restful heart? Okay, I use this concept of repent. Repent means I was going this way and now I make a U-turn. That's what repent means. So, it's something that you need to let go and something that you need to come to, right? So, what you need to letting go of? The first is letting go of don't play God. Don't try to be in control of everything. You are not God. So there are things that are beyond your control. So accept the certain thing that happened that's beyond your control. Don't play God. You can never control everything in your life. Not even yourself sometimes, right? That's why sometimes we do stupid things. Because you can't even control yourself. So don't play God. Second, pride. Pride makes you, I'm better than people. I think I can do it. My own effort, I can. I will, basically it's you. And then the other thing, very important, is perfectionism. I know that, you are trained to be excellent. Excellent is not equal to perfectionism. Perfectionism means that, you expect no flaw. Our life is filled with flaws. But you expect no flaw in other people, in performance of your student, performance of your colleague, performance of your children, performance of yourself. And you get disappointed all the time. Because they can never live up to the expectation, neither can you live up to your own expectation. When you cannot live up to your own expectation, you get frustrated, and you vent your frustration on your children, you vent frustration on your colleagues, and then to the people around you. You say that? Perfection. Excellence is not equal to perfection. Excellence, you do your best with God's grace to achieve His result for His glory. And the other thing is the past hurts. As I say, you cannot deal with the past. You cannot healthily walk into the future. You want to walk healthily in the future, you have to deal with the past. So past hurts and even vengeance, you have to let go. That's why you need to let him go. This is why you need to repent. And what do you come to? The first is to come to receive grace. The first thing in our faith, in our belief as Christianity is grace. You are saved by grace. You are saved by grace. It's a gift. So rest is a gift. Come to me. Right? And learn of me and you will find rest. It's a promise. So it's a grace that God gives to us. To receive rest is to receive the grace of God. And to know and to trust God. You must know God. He cares for you. Trust that He cares for you better than you care for yourself sometimes. I know that there are parents who are very, very particular or very, very concerned if their kid go overseas to study. Because it's only under my surveillance. Can he or she be safe? Because I'm the mother, I'm the father, everything, you set all the boundary, everything under your protection, your surveillance, only can be saved. Now he's going away. I cannot see him or her anymore. Is she going to be saved? What happened this? What happened? A lot of if. What does it tell us? You try to play God. What does it tell us? It tells us that we cannot even learn how to commit things to God. You think that God doesn't know? Why don't you pray with a person? And you pray with them and let this person experience God in his or her own journey. Not try to keep her away from all this. Sometimes as the children grow, we need to let go. Many parents learn it the hard way. When a kid is a baby or an infant, of course, he's fully under your control. Fully under your control. You don't feed the baby, no one else will feed the baby. You want the baby naughty, you don't want to feed the baby, you delay the milk time, you can. You're the parent. But when he's going to 12 years old, 13, 15, 18 years old, you think you can do that? The parent says, hey, come, we go church camp. Don't want, no fun one. Can the parent force you to go? Cannot. No, you cannot. You cannot force you to go. But even older, you like this person. The parents say, and don't want this one. I think Miss B better than Miss A. No, I love Miss A. Your parents can do anything? Huh? Romeo and Juliet. End with very sad ending, you know. No, the parent also cannot. So sometimes you realize that, but the parent only come to the understanding of that we cannot control our children at the point that they lose control. But all the while, children are not meant to be under our control. They are meant to be under our stewardship, not control. So the earlier the parents know about this, I think probably their parenthood will be more enjoyable, right? So we pray that as we continue, we need to wait upon the Lord as well. Okay, grateful and forgiving. Be grateful. Try this exercise. Okay, try this exercise at home. You can list out all the things that you don't like in your life. It can be including your parent. I don't like my parent. I don't like my sibling. I don't like homework. I don't like a lot of things. You can put, I don't like the church. I don't like my school teacher. I don't like a lot of things. I don't like my friend. I don't like the way they wear. Then something that you another list you write down. What are you thankful for? At the beginning, you probably have a hard time writing a few of it. But thankful for what? Think very hard, then write one. Think very hard, write one. The complaint one, very fast you can fill out one page. Then the thankful one normally take a while to fill out a little bit. But you continue on to do that week after week, day after day. One day you will realize that it's very easy for you to write a long list of thanksgiving. And your complaint list becomes shorter and shorter as time goes by. This is how you want to cultivate your thankfulness of heart, with thankfulness of heart, and with thanksgiving to God. All right? So obey His words. You know that God already showed us a lot of things. So don't say that I didn't tell you. Read my word. Don't say that I didn't tell you. Read my word. So your job is to read your word. The teacher say, don't say that I didn't teach you. No, it's in the text. It's in the notes, right? Lecture notes. You read it. So there's something that we need to do. So this way we need to repent, we need to let go, and we also need to come to. Look at this tree. A tree survives a storm not by fighting the wind, but by sinking its root deep. They never living by fighting the wind. It's not about fighting the wind, it's about sinking its root deep. Similarly, a heart anchored in Christ remains unshaken. Can I say that? In other words, put it on the other perspective. A restful heart is not about having a stress-free life. A lot of us think, oh, I want a stress-free life. There's no such thing as a stress-free life, okay? Don't even bother to look for it, okay? Everything is stressful in life, right? But God is the antidote for us. But a restful heart is not about having a stress-free life, but about abiding in the one who holds our lives securely. So Jesus said, come to me. So we need to embrace God's gift of rest. So God's gift of rest is first come to Jesus. We build a relationship, the intimate relationship with the Lord, and we're able to enjoy the fellowship and the peace of God. And then you need to identify and release what you're carrying alone. In our life, there's no burden that you are carrying alone. You need to carry it with Christ, with God. Often we think that we carry alone. No one understands, no one knows. I tell you, God knows, God understands, and God is with you. So don't, if anything you think that you are just carrying alone, no one else can help you, not even God. That is what you need to let go, and you need to identify and release it to God. And the third is to practice daily rest. Continuously choose surrender, thanksgiving, trust, and encouragement in the Lord. So very important. Everyone have your different schedule, different way of connecting with God, connecting with one another. So you have to find a place. So for me, I can share with you my own testimony. No, when my wife decided to quit work and then stay at home to take care of the kids, okay, there, and every month he lose a kilo. So for 6 months, he lose about 6 kilos. And during that time, there was this changes, you know, you need to adapt to a homemaker. So it's not easy being working for so many years, more than 10 years in the industry, and suddenly, you know, take care of kids, and very boring, take care of kids, everything, feed, change diaper, and they go on for years. Are you, not easy, right? When you become, first you call, I'm now a grandfather, I say, I go away, change diaper. I don't change diaper. Different story. Okay, that's how it goes. So I realized that my wife said, so at the time I was working as well. At the time I was working in a factory. No, you go by punch card. And then at the same time, I started my part-time study. I did my part-time study. Altogether, I realized after I graduated, I studied for another 11 years, part-time, full-time together, 11 years. So it's a long time. And I started the first year of night study after we gave birth to Jingping. And then, not long later, then my wife stayed home. So there's a lot of these changes. So at the same time, we're also running a cell group. Every Friday, me and my wife, we're running a cell group. And two nights I was spent in night classes. I need to work 5 days a week. And every Friday is a cell group. Right? So at the time, I was already a deacon of the church as well. So how to manage this thing? So I realized that when I work, the workload is a lot. I work in a factory, so daytime I will solve all the production, whatever quality problems. So I have no time to answer email. So how do I answer my email? So before I go for my night class, I go to the terminal. During those years, not everyone have a laptop. We go to a common shared terminal, and I log in using my email address. I print out all the unread email. It can be that thick, about an inch thick. And I carry the hard copy, and I go for my night classes. Then when the teacher was talking, this one I know already. And I flip through my email. That's where I read my email. And then whatever answer, I write on pencil or on pen. And then next morning, I go back to the office and I reply. Not like now you have notebook, have handphone. At the time, you don't have all this. So I do that. And I did that. And for 5 years, I enjoy my work very much. I come back every Saturday to work. To a point, my wife began to question me. I thought your work is 5 days work week. I say, yeah. But I enjoy the 6 days, you know what? I go back because nobody in a factory, then I can sit down there, answer my email, do all the thing, tidy up, da-da-da-da-da. So it become a enjoying time for me. But it's not healthy for the family because my wife been taking care of the baby for 5 days already. The Saturday student to take care. You're supposed to come and chip in and help. So sometimes there's this tension emotionally because emotionally can vary very thin. You read the book, Emotionally Healthy Personal Leadership, right? So how do I manage that? So when my wife was adapting to this, I also having a lot on my plate. So sometime after work, if the day is very stressful, I don't go back home straight away from my work. So I live in Pasir Ris. So opposite my home, there is a park. So I think I was riding motorbike still. I'm riding a motorbike. So I ride the motorbike instead. Because I already going to my block. I went to the park. And I park my bike. I walk at the park for 20 minutes. Then only I go back home. Why? Because I need to fill up my emotion. I need to have that emotional buffer so that when I go home, when I see my wife like that, I don't jump. It's very easy when both are tired, conflict will just fly. It's nature for human. So somebody have to do something. You have to do that. So you may find your own ways. Not every time you have to go and lunch with your colleague. Sometimes ask them to tap out for you. You can stay in the office 20 minutes, before they come back or whatever, you can have a quiet time for yourself. Do catch up with yourself. Do that. So you find your own ways. Ultimately, is that you have to practice some daily rest. Right? The world try to steal your time by all the new episode, new series in your Netflix. But you need to guard your heart. And that is how we need to do. So, continue, sorry. Turn this up. So, be still and know that I'm God. We sang that, okay? So, be still and know that I'm God. When you're not still, you cannot see God. When you're still, then you know. In fact, God is all the while talking to you. We are just not listening. In fact, all the while, God is with me. I just don't sense His presence. In fact, all the while, God was there sustaining me. I thought it's my own effort. You suddenly come to the realization. That is where you know that He is God. You know it. Not people tell you, but you know it. It is God. So lastly, let's read through today's, okay, I get the brothers to read the first two verses and then the sister to read the second one, second slide, and then the last slide we read together. Shall we just rise and we read this together? Let's the brothers start first. One, two, three, go. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Okay. Sister? Let's read this together. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Let's pray.